Welcome to the Whole and Healthy Vibe podcast, a show to help you shift away from the diet and dogma towards a whole and healthy life.
We're your hosts, Laura and Kezia, health coaches, cake lovers, and body positive warriors. Let's get the show started.
Hi everyone, welcome to the podcast. Today you've got Laura and I am here interviewing the lovely Claire Baker, who is a coach who is from Australia but currently lives in London, and I've been following Claire online for many years now, and I'm so excited to be interviewing her for the Whole and Healthy Life podcast, especially as part of the series of podcasts that we've had recently around the menstrual cycle and women's periods. I think Claire is definitely an expert in that area, without a doubt, so I'm really looking forward to quizzing her on all of that. So how are you today, Claire?
Ah, Laura, I'm so well. I'm also really excited that we're finally chatting like this. And I'm staring out at a beautiful, it's getting cloudy now, but it's been quite a blue sky this morning in London. So, I'm good.
Good. It always makes a difference, I think, when you've got a bit of blue sky. Definitely. So just for any of our listeners who haven't come across you before, would you mind just explaining a little bit about what it is that you do and what it is that you're passionate about?
Absolutely. So I work as a women's coach and writer, which essentially means that I work with women on all kinds of women's work, from creativity to, you know, eating whole foods and living well. Self-care is really at the, you know, it's really the foundation a lot of the work that I do. And that's really been the focus of my work for the last few years working as a coach, helping women to take exquisite care of themselves so that they can do the thing that they're here to do, so they can create what they're here to create, right? So it's not just about looking good, or it's not just about achieving a certain weight. It's not just wellness for the sake of wellness. It's really about having the resources and the reserves to be the best version of you, to create what you're here to do. Yeah. And over the last few years, my focus has more specifically narrowed right down into working with women on their menstrual cycle and helping women understand the changes that we move through over a cyclic month, and again, how you can take care of yourself on every single day of your cycle according to how you feel and your body's needs. And of course, the creativity thread runs right through that as well. So, you know, on a physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, creatively, sexually, spiritually, everything, right, has to, or comes now for me through the lens of the menstrual cycle and helping women to really tap into their own monthly rhythms.
Yeah, I'm interested, so what kind of got you really interested in the menstrual cycle? Did you have any personal experiences that got you into that as a kind of thing to narrow in on?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was on the contraceptive pill for 10 years. I started taking it when I was about 16 years old and took it right up until I was 26. And I was about that time in my life, mid-20s, had started to, you know, cut back on drinking so much, and I was taking better care of myself, going to yoga, avoiding chemicals in my food and all of those kinds of things and in the home. And it suddenly felt strange to me to be taking this little pill every day. And so I stopped taking it. And nothing happened, actually. My body, just nothing happened. My cycle didn't return. My skin didn't break out. There seemed to be no hormonal shift at all. It was just nothing for 12 months. I just didn't bleed. And so I, in that time, dove deep dive into, like, everything menstrual cycle related. And once my cycle did return, I just implemented everything I was learning right away, tracking, and I became fascinated with just how different my life felt and how different I felt off the contraceptive pill as opposed to, you know, the decade that I'd spent being on it. So that was really the catalyst for everything that I'm doing now.
Yeah, it's so interesting because my experience was very, very similar. So I was on the pill for 10 years as well, and I also came off the pill and had no period, but I didn't have a period, I think it was for 2.5 years. And then I got pregnant with my son, but I ended up using medication for that. But it's really interesting that we've got that parallel, I think. And I mean, do you think, what do you think was behind your period not returning at that time? Do you think it was the effect of the pill, or do you think it was anything else that was going on that was impacting that?
It's a really great question, actually, and I would say that it would be 80%, 85% the pill. You know, I mean, when you're on the pill, you're not ovulating, and so I mean, it's almost a miracle to me that it does actually, like your body does remember what to do, because yeah. I wouldn't have ovulated since I was 15 years old. And even at that point, my body was still just finding its own rhythm. I hadn't had my period for very long at that mm-hmm. point in my life once I started taking a pill. So it's almost like quite a miracle that it came back and that it's been quite regular ever since.
Yeah.
But then there were some other, you know, stressful things, family things that was happening in my life at mm-hmm. that time too, if I reflect on that.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it just takes time. And like you say, 2.5 years, I hear this often actually. I felt isolated in my experience at the time, but once I started writing about it on the blog and talking to more people about it, I recognised actually it's quite common.
Yeah, absolutely. That was similar to mine as well. And I think what really angered me, I think, at the time was that you're not really told, like when you go on the pill, often really, really young, you're not told mm-hmm. that, you know, it might take like however long for your periods to come back. You know, post-pill amenorrhea is a thing and you're not really told about it. I can remember getting quite angry about that. And I mean, did you experience any of that kind of anger at not being understanding that at that point?
Oh my gosh, so much anger, so much fear,
yeah,
so much regret, so much just sadness mm-hmm. at what I feel like I missed. Actually, I feel like I've missed, what's the word I'm looking for? I feel like if I hadn't have taken the pill for all of those years, mm-hmm. maybe life might have looked different. Maybe I would have had a better self, sense of self, personal yeah. convictions, understanding about who I am and as a human and also as a woman that I've really garnered these past, you know, almost 5 years now being yeah. post-pill. But there aren't regrets because it's all happened as it's meant to. But I definitely, that feeling of grief, actually, I think is probably the strongest. It's really grieving for those years of not cycling.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I think it really struck me what you said there about how amazing it is actually that our bodies remember and how amazing it is that it just, you know, it's like magic. It just happens. Our bodies know what they need to do. And I hadn't really looked at it like that, but it's really incredible that even after such a long time of being medicated, I think, that our bodies can find the way back. It's quite beautiful, really, isn't it?
It's almost just it's mind-blowing if you think about it. It's wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. And then now that you are cycling, and obviously you were saying that you've had a good few years and you've really, like, done a deep dive on this, what do you think is, because I think the whole concept of, you know, tracking your cycle and really understanding what your body is doing at those different phases is so, so new to so many women. So many women out there, you know, probably listening to this, are just used to taking the pill and are just not wanting to have to deal with periods, you know, trying to clean it up and not have to, you know, even experience it. But what do you think is the, I suppose, what would you say to some of those women, I suppose, for a start, those women who don't really understand how cyclical we are and what we're missing when we don't track our cycles, for example?
Yeah, of course. Look, I think that the truth is that, you know, we live in a world, right, where it's just not set up. It's just mm-hmm. not set up for the menstrual cycle. The only time that often women, some of the only times that women will really start to investigate this for themselves is when they want to become pregnant.
Yeah.
Or want to conceive and have a child. And this is often the very first time that we, in our lives, once we decide we want to become a mother, that we start exploring this system, this process that is happening within our bodies every single day. And mm-hmm. so, you know, the first thing is to really recognize that gentleness and being really like self, you know, having compassion for self is just number one. And there is so much healing and ease and you know, a real medicine to be found in menstrual cycle awareness and tracking mm-hmm. and learning these rhythms and changes. Because if you don't, like, regardless of whether or not you have the awareness or you don't, your body's still going through it. So
yeah,
you could, you know, when I speak about ovulation being the period of ovulation being like the summer, right? It's like mm-hmm. being outside, it's being with people, it's feeling sexy, it's feeling creative, it's feeling like a superwoman. That's mm-hmm. like the superwoman phase. And then,
you know, if we don't conceive, a week later we move into the autumn, which is the premenstrual week, and that can feel for some women deeply distressing and frustrating, because we've gone from having this hormonal summit of the cycle and feeling excellent and resilient to suddenly becoming more lethargic, to, you know, our body is waning, hormones are dropping, and if we don't understand what's happening, we can berate ourselves, you know, slip into self-judgment, because, well, why can't I do this today? I could do this last week, or why am I not feeling like this? I was feeling like that before. And when we expect consistency as a cycling, a natural cycling woman, we're always going to be frustrated, because the truth is that we're cyclic and we change not only week to week, but day to day.
Yeah, and God, you just hit the nail on the head there. I think there's so many women who do really give themselves a hard time, especially with things like cravings and changes to hunger patterns and things as well that shift throughout the cycle, and really, really beat themselves up. But I think that is one of the most beautiful things that comes out of this work, is that when they can understand what the body's doing, it just brings, like just exactly what you say, self-compassion. So you've just mentioned there two particular phases that you describe as summer and autumn. And we were just chatting with you before we hit record, that one of the things I really, really love about your work is that you use the seasons as a way to think about the different phases of the cycle. So would you mind explaining, so you've mentioned summer and autumn, but would you mind explaining the others, just so we've got just for any women who haven't come across these?
Yeah, I'd love to. So, well, let's start with winter. Winter is our menstruation period. So this is when we're bleeding. This is like the season winter. It's a dark time. It's a very introspective time. It's funny, actually, living in the Northern Hemisphere these past years has really given me such a clear picture of the seasons. We don't get them quite as distinct in Australia. And so really just seeing that, it's been such a powerful teacher for me, because winter is truly such a hermit time. It's really about going within. And so when we're bleeding, we've got this opportunity to really tap into, you know, a deep spiritual connection and connection to self and to relax, you know, to let oxytocin and these other, you know, beautiful chemical shifts that are happening in our body, and to let our hormones rekindle and to let our systems reset. There's a lot that's actually happening when we're bleeding within, and if we rest and give our body the space that it needs to do its job at that time, we can emerge out of winter like we do in the external seasons and move into spring feeling like we've actually got energy and like we're really ready to move back out into the world. So it's just such a lovely week, winter, to really stop and be with yourself and take some time out to then reset, really, and to recalibrate for the new cycle. And then we move into spring, and spring is the pre-ovulatory week. So this is the follicular phase of the cycle, as estrogen is steadily increasing in the lead up to ovulation. And as estrogen increases, we become more energetic, more excitable. We're feeling like we want to be with people more. So we've gone from hormones being rock bottom on day one. Now we're waxing right back up to ovulation. So, you know, it's like the moon waxing. It's like the seasons of the year increasing. It doesn't just happen overnight. It's this lovely gradual process. But spring is a very playful time. So I'm on day 7 of my cycle today, and I'm feeling much more energetic than I did a week ago. I'm feeling, you know, but I'm still not at ovulation yet. I'm still not at the summit. So I'm being gentle with myself. You know, I'm taking breaks today. I'm making sure I don't overdo it and get really excited by this new energy. It's a real blossoming time, and that then it takes us up to summer, which, as I briefly described earlier, is this beautiful, like, superwoman energy. Not only is estrogen peaking, but also testosterone. It's a really lovely, resilient energy. It's very generous and nurturing energy, and sexually it's the peak of our sexual libido for a lot of women, because this is our most fertile time as well. And then we wax back down, as I said, through autumn as progesterone increases, and then both estrogen and progesterone then decline in the second half of autumn. So there's a lot of hormonal shifts that are happening in that premenstrual week, which can certainly lead to some frustration, some lethargy. And if you know what's happening and you know what's going on, you can actually use those symptoms as really wonderful feedback from your body to recognize, you know, could you change your self-care that week? Is there a different way that you can approach things that week? Like, how can you be soft and
gentle and let that slow gear change happen so that when you get to menstruation, you know, it's not like a car crash. You've pulled back, you've waned, you've been gentle with yourself so that you can enter your, you know, your period feeling like you can actually really stop and rest.
Yeah, God, that you just described it so well, like the car crash of entering your period. Yeah. I think just a couple of things on that I think is really interesting. So when I first started tracking, you know, I would kind of say, oh, I'm now in my spring phase, or and think, oh, right, now I should have a bit more energy. And it's kind of understanding, just like what you said, it's a gradual shift. So, like, you're not going to get to, like, day 6 or day 7 and then automatically feel, like, loads of energy. It's going to be, like, a slow shift up and a slow shift down, which I think is definitely something that I've learned recently. And then I think totally agree with what you're saying about the autumn phase, and I think so many women just go, and then hit the menstruation phase, the winter phase, and it just like wipes them completely, and they don't really know what to do with themselves. For women who are, so I think one of the things that we're obviously, you know, we're both self-employed, it's quite lucky because we can take days off and stuff, can't we, around our cycle and whatnot. But I'm interested for women who don't have as much flexibility perhaps with work and perhaps with family commitments and so on, have you got any kind of tips or advice for women who, for particular in like the autumn and winter phases, about how they could possibly honour that part of the cycle a little bit more, even when they've got all of these other things going on?
Of course, absolutely. And as I said, the world is just not set up. Our workplaces, our family dynamics, things are just not set up in order to support it. But also sometimes I think we can resist it ourselves too. And I do think that our approach to things, so while life may look the same, it can feel different. You know, we can be more gentle with ourselves. We can be mindful of the inner critic chatter and how much air time we really give that. Yeah. We can pull back, say, with exercise, for example, perhaps when we're bleeding, maybe it's letting go of going to the gym on day one or two, or perhaps it's social media, which is a big one for me, is recognizing I really need to be offline in the last few days of my cycle and the first few. I really need to take that time off technology. It can be spending a little bit more time in nature, taking a lunch break. Preparing food is something that I do in my summer and sort of like early to late autumn, so that when I'm in that premenstrual week and when I'm bleeding, I don't have to worry about cooking anything. I've got things in the freezer and I can just defrost them, and for me that's really helpful. Yeah. And it also means, you know, asking for support, communicating what you need, whether it's to a partner, whether it's to children or friends or colleagues. Just knowing, and the first step is knowing what you need, and then it's communicating that and asking for support if you need it. So I really often think that it's often the way that we approach things, and just giving ourselves more space and time, and maybe that's just 10 minutes on a day that you're bleeding to just lie on your bed, phone off, relax, and just really surrender to the moment and to be with your body and its process, and to be with yourself. And then maybe the next month it's a little bit more, and then maybe the next month it's a little again. So there are ways that we can work with it. And then I just think also having some flexibility and a bit of humour and a bit of lightness is so important too, because sometimes even being self-employed, I'm sure you have experienced this too, Laura, like the cycle isn't actually that predictable that you can always get it right. You know, I've been taking workshops on day one, and sometimes I have things like I've moved house on day one or day two, and it's like, you know, sometimes you just have to also go with the flow, literally, and just be gentle and kind and find the funny side of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's another part of, you know, not having, you know, your cycle not being medicated and not being controlled, and that it's not always going to be, like, for example, for my cycle, I think it was a couple of months back, I went through a period where I was kind of regularly cycling about 28 days, 29 days, and then all of a sudden it was like 36 days, 37 days. There was quite a few pregnancy tests going on in that time as well, so I was figuring out. And it just kind of reminded me that you know, our bodies are just going to find their own way. And you're absolutely right. I think there's that need for a bit of humour and a bit of not getting too kind of with it all, and expecting our bodies to be like that, so robotic and so clockwork, because I think there's always going to be those fluctuations, isn't there?
Oh my gosh, always, always. And we just don't control it at the end of the day. You know, we don't think to ourselves, I'm going to ovulate today, or today I'm going to bleed, or today I'm going to do this. Like, our body has, as we talked about earlier, it's this real magic, this real wisdom, and it just does it itself, and it remembers, and it knows what it's doing. So there's a huge element of trust, right, that has to come into this menstrual cycle as well.
Yeah, and just on that, for women who, because I know there's probably a few women who are listening, because like I say, Kezia and I have discussed this topic a few times before on the podcast in different guises, really, and I'm sure there'll be a few women who might actually be thinking about whether or not it's time for them to come off the pill. In fact, I know there's a few who I've spoken to in my communities and things who are thinking that that may be the right step for them. Do you have any tips for women on that transition phase from, you know, finishing being on the pill to allowing the bodies to cycle naturally?
Definitely. So I would start by really looking at gut health, mm-hmm. which is the absolute foundation of our hormonal health.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, cutting back on sugar,
mm-hmm.
ensuring you're eating adequate fats and proteins, reducing stress, drinking lots of water, fermented foods, like just being really mindful, alcohol consumption, all of those really beautiful things that we, you know, should all be doing anyway with our with our guts. And I was really working on that before I came off the pill for quite a few months. And I do think that had a lot to do with my skin, which I've always had sort of issues with, actually staying really nice and clear whilst coming off the pill. I think stress is just such a big one. You know, if you want to pick one or two things out of that, I would say stress and sugar, just be really mindful of those. And if I'd add a third, I'd say sleep, like getting lots of sleep, just being really kind to your hormones so that when you do come off it, your body's, you know, it's got the reserves that it needs to be able to begin that hormonal dance, I suppose, between estrogen and progesterone, and it's got the reserves that it needs to do that. At the same time, I would start, you know, doing something really lovely for yourself, like tracking alongside the moon.
Yeah.
So whilst your cycle may take a little while to return, you can start tracking the new moon and the full moon and start, you know, feeling into how you feel at those different lunar phases as well. And that can be a really lovely way to start integrating and like that bridging, I guess, between being on the pill and then learning to track your cycle. So you don't actually have to wait until you even come off the pill. That could be something to start doing now, just to start getting into that cyclic rhythm of tracking.
Yeah, it's. I think that's a great point about using the moon cycle as well. So, and I've spoken on, I think, a previous episode that I did with Kezia a bit about the parallels between the moon cycle and the menstrual cycle. And anyone's listening to this who is post-menopausal, the moon is another good one to follow, isn't it? Just in terms of that cyclical like marker, I suppose, isn't it, to observe that. And that was definitely one of the things that I started doing when I had amenorrhea, was just observe the moon phases, just actually knowing what the moon was doing. As simple as that was really, really helpful for me, just to have that awareness and that things weren't like this constant straight line, if that makes sense.
I love that.
So
yes,
it was really helpful. But yeah, I think that's great advice for women who are thinking about making that step in that direction. And then I suppose the question that I'm sure you often get asked is, in terms of contraception and working with your cycle and not medicating it and not putting artificial hormones in your body, have you got any kind of tips for women who might be in a place where they're not sure what to do around that?
Of course. And it's a big question.
Yeah.
I really think that it takes time. I mean, as we both explained, my cycle took a year to return, yours took 2.5. And then even when mine did come back, while it was sort of regular, it was a bit sporadic. And so it takes time after having come off the pill to build up enough of an intimacy with your cycle, and also for your body to find its own rhythm, to ensure any real predictability with natural like rhythm methods, with any sort of natural fertility tracking. And I'm all for that. I think if you really have developed a wonderful intimacy with your cycle and you can really track into, like, tap into those fertile days, and using a biothermometer to identify those fertile days, I think that is, charting like that is really wonderful. But I do really think that takes time. So particularly in the beginning, I would say using a barrier method like condoms, even the withdrawal method, I just think you've just got to be careful, particularly in those beginning few cycles, even for the first year or two, to just really let your body find its own rhythm that you can be really clear on. So I think condoms are fantastic for that purpose.
Yeah, that's what I use with my husband. Well, there's this kind of like TMI conversation, I think, before on the podcast. But yeah, we use condoms and they work perfectly well for me. I'm definitely, after my experience with the pill, there's just no way on God's earth that's going to be happening again for me. So yeah, and that works perfectly well for us. But thank you for that. And I think it is really interesting because I've kind of considered looking at the fertility awareness because I'm quite irregular now and I really can notice the signs. But to be honest, for us, it's just like, it's just easy enough to just use those and that's totally fine. But yeah, hopefully that's helped some women out there who are interested in making that shift off the pill. So in terms of, because I know that in your ebook, which is fantastic, and we'll mention that at the end for people if they're interested in checking that out, you talk a little bit about journaling your cycle. And for women who are perhaps, again, just in that starting phase where they might be interested in coming off the pill and getting to know the cycle a little bit more, have you got any tips for women around starting that process of journaling and what kind of things, maybe some prompts or what they might want to observe?
Absolutely, yeah. I'm just a journaler by heart. I love journaling so dearly. And so when I came off the pill, it was just natural that tracking my cycle through my journaling practice just sort of began quite organically. So for me, it's been, while I use a couple of apps and I quite like them, for me, journaling has been really the like cornerstone of my menstrual cycle awareness practice.
Yeah.
So for those who already have a journaling practice or might be curious just to start, I would suggest popping next to the date. So at the top of the page, before you do your entry, you've got the date, and then I would pop the cycle day that you're on, and I even put the lunar phases down there as well. So if you are also tracking, as we said earlier, with just the lunar phases, then that can be something to do too, is just pop all of that in there and then just journal as you normally would. If you wanted to take something really specific in there, which can help, I know, I would pop in, say, like physical, emotional, mental, and your spiritual bodies, and every day just start to mark down how you're feeling in each of those. And perhaps there's a specific intention that you'd like to take into journaling. Maybe it's your relationship, or maybe it's your spiritual practice, or even dreaming. Something that I love tracking is how my dreams change throughout the cyclic month.
Yeah.
And so just journaling on those things as well. And dreaming is a great place to start. I also just think that the best question always to ask yourself with journaling is just, how do I feel? You know, how do I feel today? And just letting it come through uncensored. And, you know, you will really start to see some patterns. So every day when I'm doing my entry, I generally flick back to that same cycle day, the one prior, maybe even a few prior, and just you start to see these patterns like, oh, I was feeling similar that day, or I was craving this on that day, or I was the same kind of inner critic, like the same kind of voice from my inner critic. You know, I can really pinpoint the days that my inner critic is criticizing me about certain things. It's almost become boring. It's like so predictable. It's really these same days, you know?
Yeah.
So that would be they're my kind of suggestions with journaling your cycle. Also, art journaling can be fun if you're more of a visual person. So, you know, drawing things on different days and just feeling into the energy of each day, that can be really fun too.
Yeah. Oh, I love the idea of drawing. I've never even thought about that, but that's such a lovely idea actually, to be able to express how you might feel through drawing. I think that's a lovely, you know, like you say, definitely for women who might be a bit more visual, you know, in their expression. Because I know sometimes, sometimes when I talk about journaling, I think some women find that there's a bit of a block to getting there, but I love the idea of drawing. That's fantastic. So in terms of the, just trying to get my thoughts together because there's so many thoughts around all of this stuff. When it comes to just generally, you know, a kind of on an ongoing basis, having that alignment and that flow, have you got any tips for women in terms of just cultivating that flow? Because I think that's something that, like, now that I've tracked a good few cycles, I can, you know, a bit like what you were saying there, that you know that the days when your inner critic's going to be a bit louder. Have you got any tips for just being able to flow with the things that you learn from your journaling, if that makes sense?
Yeah, of course. There's some really just practical things that I can suggest here, which I find helpful. And that is things like on day one of my cycle, once I begin to bleed, I'll jump into my diary, into my schedule, and I'll pop down the cycle days for the next, my cycle's around 28 to 30 days normally, and I'll pop those into my diary next to the date again. So I can see like right away what the next month is going to look like, you know, and I'll write down the seasons as well. So yeah. When will approximately my crossover into spring be? Where will summer be? And I pull 4 cards, either oracle or tarot cards, mm-hmm. on that day one as well, just for guidance for each of those seasons. So I've got winter, spring, summer and autumn, and I'll jot down the message or any of the interpretations I've had from those cards into my diary too. So I'm really kind of like feeling into the real, like, just some planning around, so I can see, all right, well, when will my clients be this next cyclic month? And when will I be working on this project? And when will I start to edit it? And when will I need to take some time out? When will I book a massage for myself, you know? And and when will I pre-order groceries? Because I know I'm going to need extra things. Just starting to create these little rituals for yourself. That way you can find this flow by just really feeling into, you know, when you know your cycle days so intimately that you know how you feel, then you can start to plan things in a way that's really going to support you. So if somebody calls you and says, you know, can you come and you know, present at this thing or be at this, you know, huge birthday party, and it's like day 27 and you just know that your day 27 is the day that you really need to be alone, then you can say no. And it's just such beautiful reference for yourself by just knowing that actually on that day I'm probably not going to be available. Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's just the best form of self-knowledge, isn't it? And I think when you've got that ability, like you say, to confidently say no to things that you know are just going to really rub you up the wrong way depending on where you are in your cycle, I think that's just the best thing. I know it's been a really big game changer for me to be able to look at my calendar and say, well, actually I really don't want to be going to that networking event on day 2 because that's not going to happen. That's not going to feel good at all. And it's a bit like, I suppose it's, you know, when you're trying to push something up a hill and it's like really hard work. I think when you're actually going with the flow of your cycle, it's like following the street. It's like going downstream, isn't it? It's that it just everything feels a bit easier and doesn't take as much effort. And this, I think there's, you know, there's so many benefits to be able to follow this kind of work. And of course, your ebook is a fantastic place for women to start. I think it's one of the, I mean, I've read a few books around this type of thing, and I just think your ebook is one of the best, most accessible things I've ever read when it comes to, you know, just kind of getting into this work of tracking your menstrual cycle and finding that flow. So can you just mention to people where they can find that ebook?
Oh, that's really kind of you to say that, Laura. Thank you. I'm glad. I'm really glad to hear that. So if you head to my website, this is lifeblood.com and /shop. It's there available in my shop.
Fabulous. Thank you so much. And like I say, do check out that ebook because it is really, really good. And you've got a free Facebook group, haven't you, as well, as part of that ebook? Am I right in thinking?
Yeah, I do. There's a Facebook group that you'll be able to access once you purchase the ebook, and it is just the best. I mean, the conversations in there, I think that they are conversations that some women, I know certainly I have never had in person before. You know, they're really, really wonderful. Just exploring all of these really delicious topics in a really safe space. It's great. The daily conversations in there are just my favourite ever. So, yeah, definitely join the group once you've purchased the book.
Fab. Well, definitely check that out. And where can people find you online?
So my website is thisislifeblood.com, and on Instagram I am at @ClaireBaker_, and on Facebook, if you just search for Claire Baker, my name will pop up.
Fabulous. Well, thank you so much, Claire. I've really enjoyed this conversation. I think our listeners will have loved it as well and had so much insight from your knowledge and your passion about this topic. So thank you so much. And
thank you.
And we'll see you again soon.
Lovely, Laura. Thanks so much.
Thanks.